Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Kathopanishads, presented by Swami Jyotir Mayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
We are recording from the ashram of Pujyatman Sri Swami Jyotirmayananji in Miami, Florida. Swamiji is continuing the lecture series on highlights of the Upanishads, presently handling Katha Upanishad, lecture number 19. And now, our revered guru, Pujyatman Sri Swami Jyotirmayananji.
Om. Sahana vavatu sahanavu bhunaktu sahaviryam karavavahai tejasvinavadhitamastu ma viduvishavahai om shanti shanti shanti. Kathopanishad, chapter 2, section 2, and verse number 3. The verses of the Upanishads are known as mantras. Mananatrayate iti mantra. That means when you read them and reflect upon them, as you understand them, the insight gained by studying the mantra leads you to enlightenment. It enables you to cross over the world process. The world process is like a big ocean, and mantra comes like a magic boat. So when you study the Upanishad and go deeper into its meaning, you are in that boat. In the ship that doesn't carry any relationship, that's related to the word any boat. You are one with the Absolute. So this is the third mantra. Urdhvam pranamunnava yati apanam pradyagas chyati madhye vamana vasinam vishve deva upasate. Seated in the middle of the body, that vamana, literally meaning dwarf, I will explain that to you, God as the dwarf, who leads the prana upwards and apana downwards, that supremely worshipful Atman is adored by all the gods. The purpose of the writing is enable your mind to look for God not in the world outside. Outside world is so big that you cannot even complete a few, even 100 or 200 travels. And if God is to be found in so many different places, you will continue to move on from one place to another. I'm building up from allegorical point of view. But the idea of going to pilgrimage centers, going from place to place, that idea is for those who are not highly advanced. As you advance in a spiritual way, you begin to view God's presence right within your heart. You are sustained by God every moment of your existence. God is the highlight of your personality at every moment. So the idea of looking for God somewhere is extremely ridiculous. But how to gain that insight? The upasana, a devout meditation, has been presented. Different techniques of meditation, styles of meditation, to help a person to develop that profound insight and the ability to perceive God within the heart. That practice called upasana. Upasana is a blend of devotion and meditation. Meditation can be done in so many ways. If you are just meditating upon a flower, it's meditation. But upasana, if you consider that flower sacred, that God is smiling through that, now it becomes upasana, a devout meditation. So when meditation and devotion blend, your meditation is more effective, more dynamic. And another beauty of upasana is that you can exercise the freedom of your choice. Whatever way you want to meditate on God, whatever way you want to visualize God's form, it's up to your choice. And never for a moment develop the idea, am I doing wrong? I'm meditating on Krishna, there is a peacock feather on his head. Should it be brooding downwards? Should it be going up? Perchance I'm making mistake? Not so. You are an artist and you are painting God and you have all your freedom to do it the way you find it inspiring. That's called upasana. The Sanskrit term for that is swatantra. Practice of upasana is according to your free choice. Nobody has to tell you how you should do it. You want to love your child, nobody has to tell you how you have to do it. But when you have to understand Vedanta philosophy, I am that am I am beyond the body, intellect, mind, senses, I am Satchidananda. That form of understanding is like mathematics. You should allow yourself pursue wherever it leads you to. You are not free there. It's called Vastu Tantra. It depends upon the reality that you are pursuing. It doesn't depend upon you. So for practice of jnana, intellect has to blossom. Your intellect has to work upon investigation, inquiry, vichar, and it must be precise. Your intellect must be rational, clear, clear thinking. But when you are turning to God, practicing meditation, upasana, there don't go after the clarity of thought. Go after your heart. This is the way I would like him to sit before me. This is the way I want him to smile at me. And you find no contradiction within your heart. The fact is, that's the reality in all religions of the world. They may not recognize it. No two persons worships the same Jesus. Jesus, in one person's mind, is Jesus being held by Mother Mary. Another person, he is in the cross. Another person, he has a little Chinese look. If he were a Chinese Christian, I'm making a joke out. He's not underestimating, just trying to explain to you. No two persons will worship same Krishna, same Rama, because it all depends upon how your mind has been fashioned. But never mind. All this is delightful to God. So that's upasana. Without going to too much detail, here the upasana is meditate upon God seated in the middle of your body. It refers to your heart. Middle is allegorical way of saying the center of your personality. From a physical point of view, two centers, center at the navel, center at the heart. They are easy to meditate upon. Center at the navel works a miracle. It's samana. Food that is eaten is assimilated. And that samana balances your pranic currents. The pranas that have to move upwards, that upward impetus is given from that center. The pranas that have to throw away toxic elements, they are also receive that urge. So from pranic point of view, samana becomes the middle of your body. From devotional point of view, the heart becomes the middle of your body. Here is heart being highlighted. Because previously the mention has been of the heart, that Brahman abides in the heart of the size of a thumb. This is the language of upasana. Here, that Brahman abides in your heart in the form of Vamana. In Hindu culture, the word Vamana is very profound. It relates to Vaman avatar of God. Vaman literally means, rather for majority of people, Vamana means dwarf. Anyone who looks dwarf is small sized. Another meaning of Vamana is one who looks beautiful. It's a human tendency, instinct in mind. When you love someone or love, amazingly mind is blown away by love. Then the object of love, the person whom you love, you call the person little. The darling term comes from the same, dear with ling. The God is the dearest of all. And you can enfold him within your heart. From one point of view, he's so simple, so small. Another point of view, he's the controller of the entire universe. Within your body, lots of functions going on. Physical body is kept just dead without prana. But as prana flows into your body through countless nadis, subtle channels, all your nervous system begins to work miracles. Your hands move, your feet move, your tongue moves, your teeth operate, your brain moves, your memories work, your pleasure, your pain, the whole world of experience. Amazing miracle of nervous system. And behind that nervous system, who is managing the entire nervous system? Pranic movement. And pranic movement has different type of functions. Prana that needed to build you up. Prana that is needed to throw away the garbage. Prana of different types. Just to give you an idea. The main prana, they are called prana, apana, vyana, samana, udana. Main prana operates at your heart, performs the functions of your lungs. Apana performs the function of removing impurity from the body. Even the breathing out is a function of apana. Vyana performs circulatory function. Samana causes assimilation of your food. Udana operates at your throat center. And when you are led to dream, Udana takes over that process. In day-to-day life, a sense of balance in your movement is maintained by Udana. If Udana is defective, you will stagger. And this is just roughly I'm giving you descriptions. All these are operating within you. And you have no idea. All this work goes on. And the same prana, in a universal aspect, is blazing through the sun, raining down nectar through the moon, surging in the ocean. I'm just giving you just little pinches of things. The entire universe, where thousands of suns shine, not just one sun. There is Milky Way. I don't have to go into details. But all this is well controlled if that were not so, living even for a moment would be impossible. Earth is moving. And nobody is the captain to take the earth. Exactly this is the way we have to go. Day by day, countless miracles happen in the universe. And countless miracles happening within you. In spite of all this, it becomes a difficult task to tell a human being, believe in God. He who is sustaining this entire universe, He who created your miraculous body, arranged your nose where it should be, created all the nervous system, gave different duties to different centers of your body, that is God. And He abides with it. Therefore, God is your inner ruler. And His presence is the reality within you. Ego has no reality. The more you understand, greater is your movement towards self-effacement. By inner understanding, ego is not real. I am not the ego, I am not the intellect, I am beyond. Also, your devotional movement, God whom I worship, that God is the ruler of my heart. Now, I'll just lead you to another extension of this. Scriptures known as Puranas, they give stories of avatars of Lord Vishnu. The Lord Vishnu incarnates, descends to lift up His devotees. Every aspirant, when you are advancing, different aspects of God lifts you up. The very beginning state, when your mind starts developing insight, insight into who am I? Insight into the mystery of the world. That insight comes to your mind like a little fish in a bucket of water. That's called Matsya Avatar. God has come in the form of a fish. And then there's a whole story of that. Now, Vamana Avatar. I will just tell you that story, brief. All scriptural stories, they abound with battle between two forces, devas and asuras. Devas are divine forces, forces of the higher self. Asuras are the forces of the lower self. Devas are known as suras. In musical culture, the term sur is very important. You should be in tune with whatever music is going on. The cosmic world, whole cosmic process moves like melody. It should be in tune with God's will. Any movement towards being in tune is sura, God. You have good ear to listen to the music and you have good tongue to express it. But there are certain elements in every person that create disturbance, disharmony, discordance. They are called asuras, out of tune, wrong tune, donkey tune. Consider monkey tune, that's okay. So asuras and suras, devas and daityas, gods and demons, they are always at war. And the story is that a great demon called Bali gained immense power. He drove away gods from the heavenly world and he was engaged in the performance of a special ritual, yajna, that would make him immensely powerful and invulnerable. Lord Vishnu incarnated in the form of a dwarf and he entered in the palace of Bali. According to his yajna performance, he was to give away gifts in charity, boundless gifts, with the idea of gaining more and more power. And taking advantage of his good-heartedness, that he was going to give away the charity, Lord Vishnu incarnated in the form of Vamana. He was small-sized, a dwarf, presenting himself as a monk, wandering monk, with simple taste. He walks into a great assembly, saying, I want to receive your charity. You have pledged to give charity to Brahmins, and I am a Brahmin, and I want your charity. Bali had a demon guru, Shukracharya, who looks at Bali, says, no, it's a trick. Bali says, I won't allow myself to be degraded. I have already declared I will give away anyone whatsoever he asks. So he turns, and also he had no idea what this person is going to. He turns to Vamana and he says, oh yes, I will give you. Ask whatsoever you desire. And he looked at him, the mighty one looking at someone like a little frog. Vamana said, make a pledge of giving to me land measured by my three steps. Bali laughed. I thought you were small in your form, smaller in your mind. When stories are told, they are always spiced up. However, Bali insisted, that's all I want. You don't want to give me, that's okay. All right, Bali agreed. He performed the ritual to conclude his statement that I'm offering three steps. Once he had completed, Vamana assumed a cosmic form. With one step, he measured all the world of his possession. Second step, he measured all the subtle worlds. Nothing left now. Third step, he said, where am I to put it? Will you be a liar? Liar means if you don't fulfill the three steps, then you have not kept your vow. Without going into too much details, Kapuraya will give you more details. Bali says, please put the third foot on my head. Because by this time he realized he was dealing with God. And that was a profound fulfillment. Ego-based mind works like Bali. Even though you want to do things good, but you want to have the sense, I have done that good thing. Who is greater than me? I have done lots of charity and lots of good things. And I will outshine everyone who does good things. If that spirit is the spirit of Bali. But no harm in doing that. If you have developed that spirit, God is going to trick you. Trick you in such a way that your ego will be humbled forever. So that's what Vamana Avatar means. God is viewed by you so lovable, so small. And yet, that devotional movement enables the soul to transcend physical plane, subtle plane, causal plane, and instills in your heart supreme devotion. Devotion that melts any sense of separation. It's like the sun shining through a cloud. The more it shines, the more the cloud dissolves. More you bring God closer to your heart, more your unconscious begins to dissolve. Or your vasanas, your subtle desires, whatever impediment you hold, melts away. So that has been suggested by the term. Seated in the middle of the body, that Vamana, who leads prana upwards and apana downwards, that supremely worshipful Atman is adored by all the gods. That's what the Self is. Asya visram samanasya sharirasthasya dehinah dehad vimuchya manasya kimatra parishishyata etad vaitat. Abiding in the body, when it moves from one body to another, what is left? That is the Self you have asked for, implying that Brahman, that God, is the innermost reality of your body. Your body is your personality. Body means your physical body, subtle body consisting of mind, intellect, ego, pranas, causal body consisting of the deep-rooted samskaras, described as ignorance. And you are that Atman, goes on moving from one body to another. When you look at your body and look up to yourself, there is constant movement. When you awake, you are with your physical body. When you dream, you move away from physical body. You went to subtle body. Went into deep sleep, you move away from your subtle body. Even your dearest ego, shake it off. You move away from it. And go into causal state. Then you move away from the causal state and come to the other one. All the three states are variables. But what is invariable? The Absolute Self, Atma. That which moves away from physical body is real. Your body is unreal. That which moves away from your subtle body is the reality. Subtle body itself is not you. If that were so, you wouldn't have moved away. Try to find yourself. Variable, invariable. What is variable in me? Your clothes. Today you are wearing this, next day you are wearing something else. Your ornaments. If you hold sticks, etc., they are all variable. And come closer to yourself, your own body, body awareness. Anything that you can separate yourself from becomes not self. You are the self, and anything that can knot it out, not self. Likewise, you can separate yourself from the mind. In fact, in day to day, you don't have to go into dream for that illustration. Certain problem comes to you, and then you say to yourself, my mind is too occupied, but wait until I've cleared my mind, then I will work upon it. So, you see your mind different from yourself. It's like you use a knife and find it is dull, and let me rub it up, sharpen it, and then you start working. It's an instrument. Mind also is your instrument. Likewise, you begin to understand your intellect is an instrument. Ego is not you. So that Self that is moving from body to body, sheath to sheath, that's invariable. That is Brahman. Another interpretation. When a person dies, physical body is left, degenerates, disintegrates, but soul survives, led by its karma. So that soul that moves on from body to body, that's called Jivatma, the individual soul. Go deeper into that Jivatma. What is that soul? That gives you the idea of who am I. That's what you have asked for, that what Anachiketa had asked for, knowledge of the Self. Na pranena, na apanena, martyo jivati kashchana, itarena tu jivanti, yasmin neta vupashritav. Mortal beings do not live by prana or by apana, but by the another, the Self. in which these two find their refuge. The most impressive realities that mind faces are the functions of life, prana, apana, living aspect of your personality. But are you alive because of life? Life implies functions of pranas. Are you alive because of the pranas? Can you feel indebted to the pranas for your life? The pranas themselves don't know who they are. They are inert energy operating from God. God is handling the pranas and apanas. God is handling your mind and senses. Same thing presented in another way. What is the light of lights? Question is raised in another Upanishad, implying what makes you perceive the world as if the world is in utter darkness. If you came into the world like a little lump of body, having no senses, there will be no awareness of the world. The world will have no meaning at all. But since the senses are there, you have come into the world as if with lamps. The eye lamp shows you a different spectacle of the world. The ear shows different. The world is lit up because of your sense perceptions. Senses are the light. But if you view senses as the light, you are senseless. Without mind, the senses will not be active. All sense functions are controlled, regulated by your mind. Mind in turn is regulated and controlled by intellect. Intellect itself cannot sit back and say, oh, now I am the light of life. That intellect is being regulated, controlled by the divine self. So even when you move away from your senses, you move away from your mind, your intellect, your ego, you do that in deep sleep. And still you are. That gives you an indication that God within you is beyond the body, mind, senses, intellect, ego. And being beyond, he is the ruler, is the light of God that shines on your intellect. Intellect becomes operative. Light of intellect shines on the mind. Mind becomes operative. It is the mind's attention that makes the senses real. All that you are experiencing is because of God within you. God is the light of lights. That God, when you turn away from your body, turn away from the senses, turn away from your ego, from your intellect, from your unconscious, what is left? That God, Brahman. Now, to give you an easier way to understand. When you look at, during the day, all the illuminations upon this earth, up in the sky the sun shines, down on the earth, numerous reflections, rainbows, shining clouds, shimmering waves, countless illuminations. But all these illuminations, they are variable. The sun remains the same, invariable. Likewise, your whole personality is a setting of the sun, along with all illuminations. Your ego is creating the problem. But if your ego were to be transcended, then at every moment you are nothing but Brahman. It is because of that Brahman, the sun within you, that you are conscious of the physical body. Because of Brahman, you are conscious of your senses and their operations. Because of Brahman, your mind has all those imaginations. Your intellect functions. Your ego asserts. All at the same time. Sun is up there. And all illuminations down there. sun is real, all these are phenomena, appearances. When you come to realize that, then that's called Jivan Mukti, liberation in life. Liberation doesn't mean that you have to get away from all these illuminations. Move away, O clouds. Turn away, O rainbows. I want to see the sun. All that you have to do to understand, all these are nothing but the sun. So, that understanding when it dawns within you, that's called Brahma Vidya, Brahma Gyan. The mind has come to understand that the greatest knowledge is the knowledge of the knower. Greatest attainment is to discover who am I. Greatest revelation is I am Brahman. And that's the sun. And the question, if I am Brahman, why am I in this world? That question doesn't arise. The sun up there and all this is down here. It's up to you whether you want to focus your attention on all these illuminations or be the sun. And with this I will conclude. Om Shanti.